It is our pleasure right now to welcome into the program the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Always good to see and talk to John Gruden. John, Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin, moving the chains. Always good to talk to you. One, congratulations again. It's got to feel good to wear the silver and black again as you're decorated proud today.
It's exciting, man. It's exciting to be back with the Raiders where it all started. It's a really cool story, but the reality is I got to take advantage of this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to finding some players here that can help us.
John, I was thinking about what I was going to ask you first when I was on a plane this morning. I said, you know, when players retire, they always start with, I miss the locker room. That's what they feel like they miss the most. And I was thinking, when you all of a sudden you're in your office, this tape's piled up on the floor, things get real up right away, and now your coaches are coming in wanting to shoot and breeze, talking football. As great as the fellowship was down there, this is real. And I was just wondering, what part do you wake up and we're in love right now that you didn't have in the media?
Yeah, I love the responsibility of it, honestly, of this brand, the Oakland Raiders, trying to revive it, trying to help the Raiders get back to the Super Bowl and win it. And there's a lot of urgency around there. We've only got 2 years left to play in Oakland before we move to Las Vegas, and we want to give our fans something to remember. And I'm excited. We got a really good coaching staff. We've got some holes on our roster that we need to obviously fill. But I like the grind. I like to get up. I like the urgency of every little detail, every task that needs to be done.
I know you do.
Let me ask you this, Coach, because unfortunately I was with you for a little bit, couldn't stay healthy, but I loved your style. I loved how you coached. I loved your passion, your intensity, how you taught concepts when we go over offensive plays and you're up there commanding the room, all those type of things. Out of all the things that you've done as a head coach, and obviously you've accomplished the pinnacle, and that's a world championship, what do you think, do you approach it differently this time again with the Raiders? What would you change, I guess, or what you feel that you're better at than what you were before?
Well, I think the big change, and I've said this 100 times, is the collective bargaining agreement. You're not allowed to spend the amount of time that we once spent with our players.
Yeah.
And it's a real challenge. So we have to be better than everybody in the meeting room. We got to be better than everybody taking advantage of our time when we are on the practice field. So, you know, rehearsing every drill we're going to do, how much time we're going to spend to every minute task is important, because time spent is at a premium right now across the board in the NFL, and that's why I'm really excited about our coaching staff. We've got some really good teachers that can allow us, I think, to achieve at a high level in the meeting rooms.
From the last day you coached to today, the game has evolved, and it really never changes. It's blocking time. We got all this stuff that we know what it really is. Have you seen things out there in the course of observation called the media that you say, I'm intrigued by that. We never did it. It wasn't part of the NFL repertoire, but it might be part of my new repertoire. Do you see yourself evolving that way?
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys that I work with over the years, Sean Payton in Philadelphia, he's won a world championship in New Orleans. Sean McVay is a coach of the year. He was on my staff in Tampa. Kyle Shanahan, Jay Gruden, I stay on top of what they're doing, and it's different. There isn't a fullback, a prominent two-back set in the league.
That's why Alex Gibbs quit.
Yeah, spread formations, obviously, are very impactful now. The RPOs, all you got to do is look at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
They're throwing the ball on running plays and having tremendous success. So formations are different. Speed trips, three receivers to one side. You isolate the tight end as a split end on the backside. Revealing formations. They line up a running back outside of a wide receiver. The quarterback knows if it's man or zone before the ball is snapped. And the quarterback is being empowered now more than he ever has before. And
just
you know
Colt
this.
It. Just Colt it.
Hey,
Coach,
we used
Colt
to give it. The quarterback, me and Gannon, and still argue. You should have audibled. I used to ask Gannon, Brad Johnson to fix plays at the line of scrimmage all the time. And nowadays, when you watch Tom Brady, you watch the magnificent teams, the quarterback is not only distributing the football, but he's making critical decisions with protection, changing plays at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do.
That's right. And, you know, people talked about it the other day. When you put, just one more time to go back to what you said, you take the running back and you put him outside the wide receivers, it's to expose something. And it's to tell that quarterback something right there. And it almost always does. There's no hiding when you put the guy out there.
Well, if you're playing man-to-man coverage and you put a running back outside of a wide receiver, the cornerback is not going to go out there and cover the running back. the cornerback is going to go inside and cover the wide receiver, and some poor linebacker or some poor safety like Miller is going to go cover that back. That might be a matchup. If Miller was out there covering my back, I would shred Miller. Or I might know it's man-to-man, so now I can get into a play that's designed to beat man-to-man. One or the other, I'm going after you guys.
Blast to Joker, Matt right. Ups. I'll hit Pittman on that slant route.
Exactly right. If the safety goes out there on Pittman, I'd be ticked off if you didn't expose that matchup.
You know, no one talks about this, but you can, and I say this just to get out of what we're talking about for a minute. Jimmy's arm was underrated, and people that studied Jim knew what that arm was all about.
He was a tough player. He was a tough guy at Michigan State. You know, that's what I remember. He won games at Michigan State before Michigan State was really winning a lot of games. And then he had some really good years in Chicago. Unfortunately, he started eating a lot of bratwursts. He didn't get in shape. No, he had an injury with his arm, but he was a tough guy. He was a leader. Players respected him, and he would have been a lot of fun to coach.
Well, you're coaching one now. It's an intriguing the Carr says that you have a lot in common. You and he have a lot in common. Just talk about coaching this guy. First off, you had him down in Florida. You've been around the world with this guy. Now you're coaching him.
You know what, Pat? He's got exceptional arm talent. It's quick. It's accurate. He can throw with touch and timing and velocity, and he can throw from different platforms. This guy can really uncork it, and he's a great kid. I think he's athletic. You know, he ran well. I think he's capable of running for 250 yards. Running,
the RPO
scrambling.
World. There it is.
Scramble for 12, 15, right. 20 first downs, extended change. I think he can do that as well. He's a good person, and he's just been victimized, I think, with some injuries and a lack of continuity. He's had four different head coaches. I don't know how many different coordinators he's had.
Terrible.
And that's hard for a young quarterback. But I'll say this. When he was at Fresno State, he was calling his own plays in a no-huddle offense, 50 points a game. Davante Adams was his split end. And that's what we're going to ask him to do, get more involved at the line of scrimmage, recognizing defenses, communicating what we want done, and then execute.
Let me ask you one combine question. In terms of your approach, does anything change? Is it still just all about great football players? Here you mentioned your time with players is minimized, attention to detail, players that obviously love football, the passion, and pay attention where you can get a lot covered in a minute. I mean, does your identifying players change from your standpoint with how the game has evolved?
Well, obviously talent is what you're looking for. You got to have talent to play in this league. But I asked all our scouts to put a little Raiders sticker next to the guys that have the intangibles, the qualities that it takes to play for the Raiders, guys that have passion to play, that'll play for nothing, that'll walk out onto San Francisco Bridge and play a game of football for nothing. We're looking for guys that really love it, that love to compete, that are tough. And if they do have these qualities, we put a little sticker up there. And if it comes right down to it and it's close, we're always going to take the guy with the sticker.
Well, I sat with John in a meeting room at the combine, just the two of us, and in came a young quarterback. I'll never forget it. And talk about getting something done in a minute. John took a chair and pushed the chair. It was Chris Redman. Pushed the chair over to him and said, get under that chair. He's your center. I want to hear your hard count. Well, he had a horrible hard count. Then he said, all right, now call the big, longest play, the toughest play in your book. He stumbled him. So John says to him, I'm going to be here again tomorrow night. Why don't we try this again? So you got something out of him right away.
Yeah.
That's the secret to this, where you sit down with these kids one after another now.
Well, they got a guy with a horn, and they blow it after 15 minutes. And if you don't get the guy out of there, you lose your second-round draft choice. So you got to know what questions you want to get answered. But these guys are scripted, too. They got agents that are helping them. Oh, yeah. Hey, Gruden's going to ask you this. Gruden's going to ask you that. So I got to think outside the box, Pat. I got to ask questions to these guys that they can't possibly prepare for.
Well,
I was pretty good last night. Wait till you see me tonight. I got some questions, not for this show, but I
– No, don't give us the reveal, but I'll tell you, when I was with Belichick, I thought he was the greatest. You were the greatest one-man performance. What he did was they came into the room in the dark. There's no light. He didn't even shake hands with them. The second they got in the room, he goes, sit right there. And he turned the film on. They were playing really bad. And he goes, tell me what that's all about.
Yeah, well, Belichick can do whatever he wants to do. What a job he's done. I mean, I tip my hat to him. Not to change the subject, but phenomenal.
Defense, we're getting near the end of this conversation with you. Can't thank you enough for being here. But What is defenses? What are they doing different since the last time you were in this, if anything? Are they? I mean, Tampa 2 got destroyed. That's not around very
well,
much.
It's a single safety defense now. You know, the quarterback, the run threat of the quarterback forces you to get a safety down in the box and defend all the gaps. You can't play a split safety defense on first and second down against Cam Newton and some of these guys.
Right.
They'll wear you out running the football. You just don't have enough gaps accounted for. So we see
big nickel. That's what Jim and I see.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of dime defenses nowadays as well. Guys like T.J. Ward really, I think, helped that emerge. Six defensive backs on the field together, three safeties at a time has become very important.
You know,
there's going to be different coverages that you ought to talk about. One plug, there's a coverage called 3-Jade, J-A-D-E. It's a nasty coverage. It's a combination of man and zone. It's tricky. The Seattle Seahawks cover three, they play. There's all these different versions of, like, Tampa 2 split safety coverages of years ago. Now they're three deep man zone mixture coverages. And then all the fire zones are three deep and three under with a five-man rush. You got to deal with them as well.
Yeah. Well, that's why I would ask, do you ever see it transitioning back? Because if you got the Reuben Fosters of the world that are getting drafted, smaller, speedier linebackers. Nick Saban, we talked to him. He said, hey, we think the game's evolving where it'll be faster, smaller linebackers. Will it go back to heavy sets on offense?
I wouldn't mind doing that, Jim. I would not mind having the ability to slam it at you. If we are fortunate to get Marshawn Lynch back as our running back, we need to do a better job servicing him. We got to have a blocking tight end and a fullback.
Right.
If he's going to be the great Marshawn Lynch that we remember in Seattle, remember, they had a blocking tight end. They didn't have Jimmy Graham. They had a blocking tight end, Zach Miller, and they had a hell of a fullback. This Michael Robinson, he would undress you in the hole. He would smoke you. So they had the components to really feature a guy. And if they get smaller, maybe we got to get bigger. But the common thing that I see in pro football now is they are stretching the field horizontally, like Andy Reid is in Kansas City. And just when you take that into account, they can still stretch you vertically.
Right.
So it's that stretching of the defense that is forcing them to get quicker and faster and more specialized to compete. Thanks for what you're doing for football. Okay, the game is under siege by some people, but I have always appreciated you guys keeping the game strong, man. I love it.
Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
John Gruden, everybody, head coach of the Oakland Raiders.